Let's get into the lesson, and we're going to go ahead and talk about, will God save today's Israel blessers? And we'll explain what I'll explain what I mean by Israel blessers. But let's look at some verses here. If someone could get the verse list from the website and post these verses, that would be a big help. But let me just try and get this. Genesis 12:3. My computer is running so slowly. 12:3 tells us about the Greeks, at least the first mention, without naming them. I will bless them that bless thee. Talking about God talking to Abram about his descendants, Israel. And the three statements here are, I will bless them that bless thee, and that's the one that applies to this, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, in those first two statements, you get the two conditions of Gentiles that all Gentiles fall into at that time, until at least until the time of Paul's salvation. But second verse, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Hi, Brian. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time, when they were in uncircumcision, this is written after Paul started preaching the gospel, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, they weren't part of Israel. And they were strangers. Well, when I say Israel, it's understood, it's implied the nation of Israel. But this isn't talking about the nation of Israel. It's talking about aliens from the commonwealth, the wider commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. So why were they aliens from the commonwealth of Israel? They were strangers from the covenants. But there were some that were not strangers of the covenants. They were in the covenant. Look at the verse above there, Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee. That's a covenant that God made with Israel to bless certain Gentiles, the ones that blessed Israel. So those Gentiles that bless Israel are in that covenant of promise. And thus, they're in the commonwealth of Israel. And not aliens. They're the other side of it. They're allied with Israel, not alien from Israel. And the third verse, before we get into the rest of the lesson, is Romans 11, verse 5. Doesn't mean they are saved, that's right. It means they have a chance at salvation later on, though, after some things go on, and I don't have all that down yet. But after the rapture, there are some of those Gentiles that are treated as saved, as I've read, but I didn't read in the Bible, but I didn't mark where it was. I'll have to go back and find it, unless one of you can point it out to me. Even so, then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant, well, we always knew there was a small group of Israelites that believed Israel's doctrine. That was the prophetic remnant. That's not this. This is a remnant according to the election of grace. That, well, if you look at the next verse, Paul is going to preach to them his gospel, and the next verse explains that. And if it's by grace, then it's no more of works, implied as it had been. It's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, there were some still that were believing Israel's doctrine, that works were necessary, the law, etc., circumcision. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So they're different beings, different wonder if we lost Gary. Maybe he went with Rogue of Belfast. He had to leave Paltalk for some reason. All right. So, we want to start with an understanding of who Israel is in the Bible, and who the Israel blessers were in the Bible. We've looked at Genesis 12:3, but there is a fact that a fact that many people are unaware of, and or they don't realize. They don't realize it has a big effect, large effect on the situation in the world today. Thinking about doctrine and religion and the Bible and what God has said, Israel was severed. They were separated from the Gentiles, and people forget that. They think they're just another nation or a chosen nation. They're taken away from the rest of the world. They're not like the rest of us, at least at that time. Now, they have fallen to our status. They have fallen to being back, I don't know if you could say in connection with the Gentiles, but they're considered uncircumcised in heart and ears at the present time. But they were severed. They were separated. And look in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So they were pulled out from the rest of the people, separated. Look at Exodus 33:16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? So there, God made them a different people, a separated people. For a reason. He was going to work through them. He was going to show his glory to the world through them. Look in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 24, 25, and 26. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean. Why did they have clean and unclean? You shall therefore put a difference between. What's the therefore? Therefore, I am the Lord your God, the end of verse 24, which have separated you from other people. So because God separated Israel from other people, they're to put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Why are they separated, severed from other people? That they should be the Lord's people. So, and we'll see in the next few verses that from the start, when Israel was the only way to God, God-fearing Israel-blessing Gentiles were included in some blessings of Israel's covenants of promise. And back then, Gentiles could come to God, but only by coming Israel's way, the way that God had set up for Israel to come to God. So all people could come to God, but they had to do it. God's way was through Israel, and Israel's doctrine, Israel's teaching, Israel's laws, covenants, separation. Look at the verses in Genesis 12, 1 through verse 3. And just count the covenants here. I counted, I think, 8 in here in those 3 verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. So there's a separation. Unto a land. There's the land. So separated from something and to something. Unto a land that I will show thee. And I take that as a covenant that God is going to show him the land. Bring him to the place where it is. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. There's something. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So those that believed God's promise to bless them that bless thee, Israel, to bless Israel, they were devout persons, godly. They were often called Greeks or God-fearing persons and devout Greeks. Why? For seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God as a Gentile. Back then, after the Greek Empire, a person was considered a Greek if he was like what the Western culture today sometimes calls an intellectual. Not all wisdom and knowledge seekers sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 1:24, I believe it is, or 23, 24, I think. Those that did seek the wisdom and knowledge of God were often called by several titles. Well, you can look in them. Let's look in the verses and see. This would be in Acts 17, verse 4. And then verse 17, and then in Galatians 1:13, that's the next topic. We'll get to that after these two verses. But you can see here that Acts 17:4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So they're called devout Greeks. Later on in the chapter, they're called something else. Look at 17, verse 7, Acts 17:17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the marketplace, market daily, with them that met with him. So here we see that in the synagogues, the non-Jews were sometimes called devout persons. So in that same chapter, they're called devout Greeks and they're called devout persons. The little flock of believing Israel is called the Church of God. And we can see that in Galatians 1:13, trying to get our terms straight so we know what the Bible is talking about when it uses these terms. Hold on a second here. I think that's right. I missed it I missed your comments when I was talking about it, but I think that's what I was talking about. Yep. So, Galatians 1:13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And here we see that before Saul of Tarsus was saved as the first one into the body of Christ, there were believers in Israel's doctrine that were called the Church of God. And when Israel's leadership and majority committed their unforgivable sin and failed to receive their kingdom out of heaven, God took care of God took care of those who had obeyed by selling all. And that, you can check that if you want. That's in Acts 2, verses 43 to 46. And again in Acts 4, verses 31 to 35, right after the filling of the Holy Ghost came down on the group, the whole group. Acts 20, verse 17, tells us about God taking care of those who had sold all. And we're going to go to verse 28 then after that, 17 and 28. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And verse 28, he says to those elders, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So the church of God, those believing Israelites, like Peter and Lazarus and Mary and James, etc., they're the church of God, and the Holy Ghost hath made the elders in the body of Christ church there in Ephesus, at least in Ephesus, made them overseers. And we'll look more at that word overseer, but it has to do, it's the same word as translated bishop elsewhere in the Bible. So neither the Gentiles nor the body of Christ are Israel's church of God. Israel was to remain separate. They were a different group. Numbers 23:9, we see, for from the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So they're separate. Paul says so, 1 Corinthians 10:32, and it starts off with an invisible word, the understood you, who he's really talking to, you, he's in parenthesis, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So he's not talking to the church of God, he's telling whoever he's talking to not to give offense to the church of God, or to the Jews, or to the Gentiles. Well, who else is there? 1 Corinthians, he's talking to those besides those in the church of God. Those that were in that, in Paul's meeting, they would be those that believed the gospel of God and went on to believe the gospel of Christ, the body of Christ. Look in Acts 18, verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks are named in the Old Testament, not named, they're described in the Old Testament, and they do have an important place there. But their status ended. When Israel fell, they couldn't come to God by Israel's doctrine anymore. Paul went and preached to them in the synagogues, and they got to hear how to come to God now, by the way that Christ saved unforgivable, unsavable Paul, Saul of Tarsus. So those Greeks were the non-Jews that came to God Israel's way in the synagogues. That's what the Greeks were. So we've talked about Israel being separate and the Gentiles coming to God through Israel. Sometime I want to do a study on Gentiles and the differences in the Gentiles at different times. And, you know, one of the troubles in Facebook is that at least one outspoken person keeps mixing up who the talking like since God said that the Gentiles would praise God through Israel, that's what we're to do today. It's not so. It's different Gentiles at a different time. And there are different groups, you could call them groups, or conditions of Gentiles. But this second portion we're going to talk about here is about who are you? Israel is not the body of Christ. And we're going to go from that into later on, talk about, probably not today still. I think we'll get back to it on Thursday. New pattern of salvation, not by Israel anymore. it was to the Jews. This new pattern of salvation that Paul was preaching was to the Jews first, and then later to all. And so that explains the differences in his early epistles from what he said in them to what he said in his later epistles. Fallen Israel is no longer God's people. They have to come to God just like any other people, as sinners. And Israel's bright future after they come to God, but only God's grace gospel. The gospel of God's grace operates now, not Israel's gospel, not Israel's covenants. I will bless them that bless thee. So that's where we're headed, and I want to document it as we go. So be clear about your own identity as having believed the gospel of salvation. Having believed that, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And we've got another verse, a couple verses, that amplify and confirm, or the other way around, the verse we read in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So the churches of God are separate from the we, the body of Christ that Paul's addressing there. Same thing in the 1 Corinthians 11:22. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God? Ye, in that verse, is the body of Christ misbehaving in Paul's meetings there, mixed, where there were mixed Jews and body of Christ people still before they had separated, when they had just come out of the synagogue, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead. Not anything about salvation in that yet, is there? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Who has not? You know, these people were earning their living all along. Who wasn't? Who had to sell all to bring in the kingdom? The church of God, those Jews in Jerusalem. As we saw in the verses in Acts 2 and 4, shame them that have not. You're shaming those Jews, your brother Jews. They're brothers because they're in Christ too, but they're not in the body of Christ. So, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Going back to 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. And in this mixed meeting here, he says, you are God's husbandry on the one side, the church of God. On the other side, or mixed in actually, probably, but talking to the body of Christ people, he says, you are God's building. You know, Romans 15 verse 20 talks about the building of God, the building. 1 Corinthians 3:9-12. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We have a house eternal in the heavens. So they were separate. Even when they got saved, they kept separate. They had separate doctrines. Those in Israel, believing Israel's doctrine, that Israel church of God, it I was going to say disintegrated, but which might be okay, but I'm looking for another word. What is the word there? Attrition. They reduced by attrition. They were not evangelizing anymore, as part of the agreement with Paul, that Paul would do the evangelizing with his gospel. And so as they died off, that was the end of that church until the Lord returns. What is husbandry? You are God's husbandry, he said to the house, to the church of God. Look in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 10. And there's an earlier one too, I think in Genesis, if I'm correct. I don't have it listed here in my notes, but where that also confirms this. But verse 10 says, also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers, in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So that's that whole section there, husbandmen also and vine dressers, he loved husbandry. That's all talking about husbandry, dressing the vines. In the Bible, Israel is pictured with farming and agricultural terms. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Israel says that he's their shepherd. They're sheep. They're a flock. They're named as a fig tree, an olive tree, a vine. And those verses that we listed earlier about the body of Christ being a building, let's go through those. Acts 15:20. You have, excuse me, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's, you know, they were part of that building, the building project. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, talking about building on the foundation. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we hear Paul calling Israel's Church of God believers in Paul's meeting God's husbandry. And we hear Paul calling the body of Christ believers in Paul's meeting God's building. In the following verses, we see from the second verse that the first verse is not talking about Israel's Church of God, but about the body of Christ. In Galatians, Galatians 6, starting with verse 15, going through 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. So it's not talking about Israel up there when it says in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It's talking about in the body of Christ. And Israel's covenants and promises were not made with the Gentiles, not made with the body of Christ. They were made with Israel only. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 32. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, with which my covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Gentiles started outside the covenants of promise, alien from the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2:11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye in time past, Gentile. I'm not reading that right. Let me start over. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, that at that time, who calls them that? The authority on circumcision, uncircumcision. Israel is only brought in as the authority to document that the Gentiles were the uncircumcision. They're not one of the factors in this verse, in this chapter even. That's the only time they're mentioned in chapters 2 and 3. And, you know, it's not that they're one of the players in this series of verses. It's just that they were the authority as to who was circumcised and who was not. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by them, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And that's it. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Let's look a little bit, just before we close, we're going to read some verses in Galatians chapter 1 about this new pattern of salvation, that it's not by Israel. It's preached by Paul to the Jew first, and then to all. Included in the Jews there would be the Jew blessers, those that had come to God Israel's way. So when I'm saying the Jews, I'm talking about that system coming to God through those covenants, whether they were Jews or Gentiles at the time. And the Gentiles and the body of Christ have their own good news now in the Bible about how to be saved, and we try to trumpet it and show those that think that, well, you know, there's another gospel, so there's only one gospel. They've heard another gospel, a gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of the prophets. Jesus in Luke 16:16 said the law and the prophets were until John, and then the kingdom of God is preached, and we've got the kingdom gospel. That was before Jesus went back to heaven and gave Paul our gospel. But we'll close by just reading these seven verses. Galatians 1, starting in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's talking about the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that we can have confidence in. The gospel that Paul preached came directly from Jesus Christ, not something Paul invented or something that Peter taught him or the 12. It's a different gospel, and we're thankful. Okay, I'm done.